Welcome to the Venus Index podcast. I'm John Barber, and with me is Brian Chung, and we're going to cover a question topic that has come up a couple of times in the forum and on the blog, and that's about loose skin, and specifically how to get rid of loose skin. So I guess the logical first step is to define what loose skin, I guess, even is, and how you end up getting it at all in the first place. So Brian, can you help me like figure out what people are talking about when they say loose skin, and how they, what are the actual clinical ways, I guess you could say, that you could end up with true loose skin?
Yeah, so loose skin is something that we normally see in patients who have gone through massive weight loss, usually with the bariatric surgery patients who, you know, go from some very large amount of weight down to not really almost a normal weight, we'll say, because nobody really measures body fat per se for most of these people, because usually they're so big that, short of doing an MRI, you're not going to get a really good idea of their fat. You can't really pinch them very well because they're quite obese.
Yeah, like a caliper. A caliper wouldn't even get around them.
Yeah, you can't really get a good hold of it there. And even then, it's questionable whether you actually have a good pinch.
Yeah.
So, but there certainly, you know, are lots of cases of people who have gone through bariatric surgery, whether that's, stomach stapling or some form of surgery around the stomach or stomach banding, where there's a forced decrease in calories that occurs because
banding.
You get full so easily from the banding or the stapling that you can't consume more than your normal, sort of your normal maintenance, quote-unquote, calories every day. So you end up losing weight because you're eating under what your body normally needs and the fat goes away. Mm. The problem is that the fat goes away after the skin has already been expanded to such an extent that the elasticity of your skin can't recover from the weight loss. And so your skin is stretched to the point where it's permanently, quote unquote, deformed, and it can't rebound back to where it was before. And that's the definition of loose skin. That's what happens with loose skin, is that the skin is stretched beyond the point where its elasticity can recover when you lose the weight.
Now, can you talk a little bit about that, the elasticity of the skin, and what other situations can you get to the point where the skin has become so stretched that it's out, elasticity is gone? And I know you've said this before, that the elasticity of the skin is to some degree related to age, and kind of what are the age cutoffs, and can we build a profile of the type of person who could actually expect to go through either bariatric surgery, rapid weight loss, something where they end up with loose skin? Like, what are the factors that contribute to it?
Yeah, so part of it has to do, a lot of it probably has to do with age. So the older you get, the looser the less elastic, your skin becomes. So as you age, like, your skin is made up of collagen, and collagen is a protein, and it has a certain degree of stretch, sort of like how an elastic band can stretch, and then when you let it go, it returns back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Unfortunately, if you take a rubber band too far out, it'll snap, and that doesn't happen with collagen. What happens with collagen is that when you stretch it out past that point of elasticity, it stays stretched out. As you age, your body isn't turning over collagen as quickly, and so you're not getting rid of those really stretched out pieces and replacing them with the newer, springier pieces, because that's how collagen turnover occurs. You're not remodeling anything per se in your system. It's just replacing the old, the ones that don't really fit very well with ones that fit better.
Right.
And it gets rid of the old ones. So you don't really keep the old ones. The old ones eventually just sort of degrade away, or your body degrades them away and replaces them with new strands of collagen. As you age, you're not replacing those old pieces of collagen as quickly as you were when you were younger, And so that manifests itself as being not as, your skin as being not as tight as it used to be, because the looser pieces aren't being replaced by tighter pieces as quickly anymore.
Right.
And then there's also the constant force of gravity, which creates a certain amount of force on your skin in the downward direction. And because of that constant force, the collagen is always being exposed to, like, basically a downward force, right? And because you're not turning over as quickly, again, that contributes a little bit to, you know, the looseness of your skin.
So it's literally over time becoming less tight, and you're just being dragged towards the earth. So the whole concept of, like, sagging when you get older is quite literal, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's quite evident in sort of areas of the body that hang off of your body more than ones that don't. So, you know, if you are quite obese and you have, you know, a piece of your tummy sort of hanging down, then that piece of hanging down tummy is going to be, you know, sort of pulled down towards the earth, almost as a separate object, so to speak, right? Whereas if your tummy is flat, well, it's sort of one piece of a larger wall. It's not its own protruding piece, right? Mm-hmm. And in women also, breasts are subject to gravity. And as every woman knows or will know eventually, as they grow older, their breasts will eventually start to droop. So that's like an inevitable part of aging, short of having surgical intervention. And then your face also is subject to gravity, which is why some people develop jowls, even though they might not be that fat. And they get these sort of little hanging jowls under their jawline, because that part of the body is, again, your face is always being exposed to gravity. You can't prevent that from happening short
right.
of just lying down all day.
So the effect is, when it only becomes visible as you age and as the skin, like you said, remodels at a slower rate and is laying down less sort of tight, or is you're working with less less elasticity in the skin.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what age, is there like kind of a general cutoff where that, like, obviously it's not from birth and then it's immediately getting looser. Like, there's obviously a kind of a peak of the mountain and then you come back down as far as skin elasticity. So where's the age range where skin's, like, I don't know, for lack of a better word, at its healthiest, tightest, so to speak? And what's the sort of 5, 10, 20 year progression as where it really starts to, you know, as a surgeon, you're looking at, oh, that's the age where it's going to be visible. It's going to actually start to see that it's not as tight.
Yeah, so that has a lot to do with, it has to do with age, but also has a lot to do with genetics. And as a sort of as a substitute for genetics, it also has a lot to do with race. So, you know, people who are Asian or of African descent don't generally have as much sag as people who are of other races, mostly because the collagen content of their skin is generally higher. Mm. And also there are young looking non-Asian, non-African American or African Canadian people who look a lot younger than they actually do, and that is just the way that they were born and just the luck of their genetic draw.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you could have somebody who's in their late 30s who is starting to show, you know, signs of aging, you know, whereas you could take another person who is also in their sort of 30s or late 30s and who isn't showing any signs of aging, you know, per se. So it's very individual, but somewhere around, you know, the late 40s and early 50s is generally when you're going to start seeing some of these signs, mostly in the face, and less so in the rest of the body, I think. And then once you get into your late 50s and 60s is when, you know, you're probably going to start seeing less. You're going to see sort of a more smoothing out of that curve. So, you know, fewer people are getting away with looking a lot younger than they actually are.
Right. And then upwards into the 80s and 90s, everyone sort of ends up looking similar.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So the genetics and all things aside, when you're in your 80s and 90s, people all just kind of like how babies all look the same, and when you get that old, everyone kind of starts to look the same.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess my next question or thought is, and I don't know that there's any research, at least that I haven't seen, but anecdotally, and I know that's not the greatest way to make a scientific argument, but it seems that strength training somehow, some way, makes people look a bit tighter. And I don't know if there's an actual. Do you know, or can you even? What do you think as far as, is that an effect on the skin, or is that because the muscle underneath is a bit more bloated, so the skin's being forced to tighten around the muscle, so to speak, such that, you know where I'm going with that? Like, it seems as though people who strength train have a bit more of a tight look to their skin.
I would say, anecdotally, I kind of agree with you. I have seen some people who strength train quite, you know, sort of almost on a professional level, like, you know, almost professional bodybuilder or, former bodybuilder type of body, who also do end up with loose skin as well, though. So I don't know that it's necessarily the strength training per se as so much as it is just not getting obese. Not getting sort of chubbier.
Yeah.
So because as you get chubbier, the skin is going to have, your skin, as you get chubbier, your body volume increases, and your skin is just sort of the wrapping around the bag of fluid that your body is, right? It's the bag.
Right.
So if you put more stuff in the bag in the form of fat, then the bag has to stretch to accommodate that fluid or that stuff in the bag, right? And if you stretch the bag to the point where it's not able to come back to where it was before, then you're going to end up with loose skin.
Yeah.
If you never get chubbier and the bag never really ever gets a whole lot fuller, or at least doesn't get a whole lot fuller to the point where it's sort of getting to that permanent stretch state, then you're more likely to be able to rebound from that.
Is there any data on what that degree is, or that's completely person to person with the genetic influences and whatnot?
It's pretty person to person. The bariatric patients, you know, some of them end up with a lot of loose skin, but they're losing, like, you know, between 200 and, you know, or 150 pounds or even 100 pounds. So it's a lot of weight that they're losing. Something on that level, it wouldn't be unusual to see some loose skin or a lot of loose skin in some cases where they need to have surgery to fix it because there's no other way to deal with it. It's never going to get back to that way. I think a good example of it is if you take a garbage bag and you stretch the garbage bag with stuff in it, and you ever notice that the garbage bag sort of gets a little thin in some areas?
Yeah, it becomes
it gets like a little translucent. That's the point where you stretch the bag to the point where it's never going to come back to where it was before.
Yeah, it's like, and then that area is weak and can like puff out more than the rest of the bag.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's a great analogy. And so,
yeah, same idea.
Now on those cases of massive weight loss, I know we've talked, does the rate of the weight loss matter, or is once you've been that big and the skin's that stretched, it can take you 2 years to take 100 pounds off, or, you know, 6 months to take 100, regardless that once the skin's stretched, it's stretched. Like, does the rate of on the way down even matter, or once the skin's remodeled and stretched to the point of losing elasticity, is that it?
I think it's hard to tell, because there's sort of two classes. You're looking at two different kinds of people. So you're looking at one person who's losing fat and at a very fast rate, and you're looking at another person who, let's say, starts out at the same size and it takes them 7 years or 5 years to lose the weight, let's say, right? Certainly the person who's losing it over a longer period of time has a little bit of a chance where their skin is going to remodel to the point where, you know, they might not end up with as much loose skin, because again, the collagen is turning over all the time, right?
Right.
And so if as your body gets, as your inside body gets smaller, right, the collagen will remodel a little bit to try to accommodate that. So there's a little bit of elasticity there that's still left, and it's gonna rebound, and then as you get smaller, maybe that rebound will accommodate and you won't end up with loose skin. And then you become a little smaller, and there's enough turnover that now you've developed a little more rebound, and so then you're taking advantage of that little more rebound and a little more rebound and a little more rebound, so that you don't end up with quite as much loose skin as someone who just drops it.
Right.
Literally. And there's no time for any rebound, there's no time for any turnover, and it's just basically like deflating a balloon.
Right. But but in general, that's your best guess at it, and that may still not even...
Yeah, that may not even be the case. I mean, we've seen patients who have lost a lot of weight by themselves, and they don't end up in the same state, but at the same time, the bariatric patients are like a weight class to themselves.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're talking 100 plus and over.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about people who are like 350, 400 pound people, right?
Right.
So that's... I don't know if anybody listening to the Venus Index is anywhere in that range.
Right.
You know, so I don't know how that would necessarily fly. I've never seen a person go... I haven't met a patient who used to be 400 pounds and is now 115.
Right, exactly. Right. So that leads perfectly into the next question. Who are the people who potentially could end up with loose skin? Like, is there... Can we give a rough cutoff? Like, if you've got 60 pounds to lose, odds are you're not big enough. But if you have, you know, somewhere between 80, 90, 100 now, you might be big enough that it could happen. You know what I mean? Where would you guess the cutoff is? Or at least a rough range, a gradual range.
Well, here's the thing, is that we're also dealing with sort of a fundamental disconnect in language when we talk about massive weight loss and loose skin. Because when you ask the question, it's like, well, is there a boundary, 60 pounds, 100 pounds? And that in and of itself is a problematic question, because it's not so much the poundage that you're losing, right? So if somebody says, well, if I say...
Well, it's the volume, because what if I'm talking about a 4'11" person or a 6'5" person?
Yeah, or, you know, what if their fat is... distributed ever so differently than the next person next to them who weighs exactly the same, has lost exactly the same poundage of weight.
Sure. Okay. Well, then let's take it out of those terms and let's put it. Okay. Well, okay. I think you get the idea of what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah, I do.
In general, who potentially are susceptible to ending up with loose skin? Like, you know, profile a couple of people that might, a couple of, like, you know, an avatar of the type of person that might, and it, you know, and you know, throw in all the variables. It could be genetics plays a role, you know, all the things. I'm trying to get the listener to be like, oh, that, you know, I might fit that, or no, that's totally
not.
Maybe it's not that clear, like you're saying. Maybe it's actually not that clear.
I don't think it is as clear as that, because so you're looking at factors of age, mm-hmm. you're looking at factors of how big are you right now versus how big you will be when your transformation is done.
Right.
Well, quote unquote done, because you're never fully ever done. But, you know, when you reach a point where you're happy with the way you look, right? And then on top of that, you have the sort of how is your volume distributed in your body individually, right? So somebody who's going from, you know, a 40-inch waist down to a 30-inch waist. I mean, we've seen guys that have done that on the Adonis mm-hmm. side of things already, and they don't have loose skin, right?
Right.
So, you know, for me to say, well, if you're going from a 40 to a 30, that might be fine for some people, and it might not be for others, and it's really hard to make that boundary cutoff. And a lot of this is shaped by the experiences that we've had with the Adonis, the Adonis transformation guys. Is like, you know, we look at the before pictures, you look at the after pictures and their measurements, and you're like, I would never have thought that, you know, say Jason wouldn't have any loose skin, and he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when I look at his before pictures, I'm like, there's, you know, certainly if I had seen his before pictures and never seen his after pictures, and somebody said this guy went to a, you know, a 29 waist, I would have been like, there's got to be loose skin there. but he doesn't have any.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he looks fantastic in his outfit.
Right. So, you know, at the same time, Jason's young. He's not, you know, I think, I can't remember exactly how old Jason is, but he's in his like, early 30s, I think.
Yeah, early to mid 30s, so yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and guys generally, their sort of elasticity tends to last a little longer, or at least that's what I think at any rate. You know, I don't have anything to back that one particularly up.
Besides your observation.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so there is that. And then there, you know, again, and in a sort of the classic idea of sort of skin elasticity and just what we would call tissue expansion in plastic surgery would be pregnancy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are pregnant women who get pregnant in their 20s, who get pregnant, their waist size goes up, you know, 2-3 fold, right? And they have their baby, they sort of go through the recovery phase after they have their baby, and afterwards you can't even tell that they had a baby.
And there's no loose skin, nothing.
No loose skin, nothing, right? This take another woman in her same age as the other lady who has no loose skin. She ends up with stretch marks. She ends up with loose skin after her pregnancy. And there's not really a good indicator as to defining, well, why this woman and not that woman?
Mm-hmm. So part of it could be the genetic makeup of how much collagen and how fast it's turning over and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, just theorizing about it, I wonder if one day, I don't know why this research is being done, but if there was a way to profile the elastic potential of the skin, if there's a way to measure that, you know what I mean? Like if there was some sort of histological thing where you could be like, oh, you've got, you know, your collagen, you know, content is way higher than the next one over or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think that kind of technology would be available. I mean, the technology exists now, right, to do
but
that.
Not any but kind of cost where you could pre-screen somebody.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, it would be, the only way that would even be done right now is within a study
where yeah.
cost isn't really, like bringing it to market as a thing wouldn't be, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, that's a great example you just brought up because you said same age, same everything, one gets stretch marks, one doesn't. So that's, I mean, I hope people understand genetic variation is, you know, even though people all seem similar, there's little subtleties like this that are really legitimate. Like what you said, Jason came down from a long way, no stretch marks, but a couple of other guys who've come down similar who are somewhere around Jason's age, even younger, did seem to have a little bit of loose skin. Sorry, I meant loose skin. And, you know, and like you said, if you added them up and added up all the variables and lined them up side by side, you're like, well, I would expect both of them to finish in their after picture very, very, almost exactly the same, but one ends up with slightly looser skin than the other. And there's nothing to be said about it besides genetic variation. I don't think it comes down to diet or training because, you know, everyone's kind of doing the same thing, at least with our people.
Yeah, and I think it's important that people don't overlook that even though it's a small genetic variation, the effects are, you know, dramatically different from one person to the other.
Visually, yeah.
And even the fact that one person develops stretch marks versus another person who might not develop stretch marks is likely mostly a genetic issue and has nothing to do with, you know, things like belly moisturizer or belly creams.
Right, yeah. And we all look the same in clothes. We can all be, you know, you ladies can all be at your ideal Venus index, but you're all going to still have your own look. And I say that to the guys all the time. Like a lot of guys who are at their ideal Adonis index, you know, maybe in a t-shirt they look very similar, but you know, when you see them with their kind of shirt off pictures, they have their own look. Their muscles hang a certain way, their shoulders and everything they're just slightly different. So everyone is basically unique. No two bodies look identical when you see them, even if they're the same height, the same measurements, more or less the same body fat level, everyone still has their own look. And I guess the skin issues just further proof of how kind of each person's just got their own thing going on.
Yeah.
So I guess the last thing we should cover is the mistakes or the erroneous assumption of what loose skin is versus just some fat to lose.
Yeah. So loose skin is something that generally hangs. And you have to think about it in terms of how whether it's hanging because there's fat that's dragging it down versus just being loose. And loose skin looks a lot different than hanging fat, mostly because it has very little fat in it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pinch it, it doesn't have that sort of squishy, fatty feel to it. It feels like, well, loose skin. Okay. As opposed to sort of if you've got a little fat on your tummy, or you've got, you know, God, you know, I'm going to use this word because I know everybody will understand what I mean when I say it. But I can't say I like it very much. If you have a little bit of a muffin top,
mm-hmm.
Then, you know, that's not loose skin. That's fat.
Right.
Right. I think everybody can agree that a muffin top is not loose skin.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So if you have that sort of muffin top look, and you're wondering, is this loose skin? Well, it's not. There's fat under that skin. If you have genuine loose skin, when you pinch it, it doesn't feel like there's fat in it. It just feels like two very, very thin pieces of loose skin rubbing against one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how else to explain it.
No, that's good. That's a good explanation, because visually it's sort of, I guess it would require a couple of visual examples, but in general, it's kind of obvious that what you're saying is they're obviously different. Like, they're quite different.
Yeah.
And one of the mistakes people make is assuming that, you know, another pound or two of fat to get rid of that might be sort of just sitting in the spare tire lower abdomen region. Some people may just think that since the rest of the upper abdominal area sort of tight, I don't want to say tightens up, but the fat's not evenly distributed when you gain it, so as you lose it, even though you lose it systematically, you lose it in that lower area kind of last. And so there's this kind of ring of fat around the bottom of your abs that sort of is still there. People think, and so it gives the illusion that it's this sagging loose skin, when really it's just another pound or two of fat that just sort of has to go. And that's the mistake a lot of people make. They assume, oh, I've got this loose skin. It's like, no, actually you just have another 2 pounds of fat.
Yeah, and you might have loose skin in other parts of your body. Certainly the upper arms and the legs are also, you know, prone to having those areas as well. But the thing is that if you think you have loose skin, you need to look at how much fat is on the rest of your body. Because if you're otherwise completely shredded or ripped,
mm-hmm.
and you have this sort of hanging thing of skin, well, that's probably loose skin.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not completely ripped, or at least, you know, very slim or quite slim.
Or very lean.
Or lean. Yeah, lean's a better word, I think. And you have this sort of hanging bit of stuffage, then that might not be loose skin. That might still be fat, because you still have enough fat on your body to explain that.
Yeah, I guess the simplest way of thinking of it is all the lines will be there. All the lines of definition that you're sort of, for guys, they'll be full on six pack before they can really tell if there's loose skin.
Yeah.
And for girls, you'll likely have nice lines in your arms, you know, the line dividing your shoulder from your bicep and tricep, those kind of vertical lines on either side of your abdominal area. Not so much the cross lines, because it's kind of unrealistic for girls to get to that. At least most girls can't really achieve that kind of level. But until you've got those kind of lines happening, and maybe a little bit of visible top two abs, until you're to that degree, I guess what Brian's trying to say is you still have enough fat on you that loose skin is likely not even, you can't even see it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we did a pretty good job of kind of walking through that. I think we've covered the topic. I'm sure more stuff will come up along the way, but do you got anything else that you thought was needed to be said that we didn't hit?
I don't think so. Certainly if you do have loose skin, then unfortunately the only thing that can be done about it is surgery.
Right.
So if that is genuinely your problem, then I think it's important to note that there are no non-surgical options for you.
Yeah, there's not like a cream or a fancy way of
eating
or a diet that can do anything for it. So based on, and that's a good thing, I'm glad you brought that up. So the take-home message there is, I guess to wrap it up, A, we can't really profile who the type of person is who may get loose skin, because we've seen it all over the board. Some people get it, some people don't. I mean, post-pregnancy, you may or may not, and we just really don't know. So that's something you have to monitor. B, don't fool yourself into thinking a few more pounds of fat that you need to lose is loose skin. You got to kind of be honest with yourself, right? And then I guess C, if you have determined you really do have loose skin, like you said, surgery might be an option. And I guess the only real way of determining is going and getting an assessment, right? Like from a qualified physician?
Yeah, or a qualified plastic surgeon. Really.
Right, so and a plastic surgeon's not going to, they're not going to be fooled. Like if you have some fat to lose, a plastic surgeon will look at you and go, oh, yeah, that's not loose skin, and we're not going to cut into you because you think you've got a couple pounds of fat to lose that actually is, that you think is skin.
Well, they might, because a tummy tuck can be used for that purpose, too.
Oh, okay. So that's an option, too.
So if you feel like you just don't want to, and this is common, very, very common, tummy tucks are done, you know, very commonly in private plastic surgery clinics across the country, around the world. Mm-hmm. So if you have decided that you've gone as far as you can ever get, and you've just, you know, you're willing to accept the scar of a tummy tuck to get that down, then that's possible. You won't look a whole lot leaner. It will just change your contour, mm-hmm. So that you don't have that little bit of outpouching at the bottom of your abdomen. You won't have a six pack. You won't be anywhere closer because the layer of fat is still the same thickness, but they can
change the.
They can just sort of basically do a wedge excision of all that little fat,
right?
And sew it together.
All right.
And,
so
you know, that's that done very commonly.
That might be a topic for a future podcast, because I'm sure that immediately just brought up questions. It already brought a bunch of questions to me, but I think we're done with today's topic. All right, man, that was good. I think we covered the loose skin issue as best we can, and I don't know. I'm sure there'll be questions, and I'll be answering most stuff. But I mean, you can always bug Brian too. Maybe on his blog, or if you want to buzz by our blog every now and then to answer questions, that would be helpful.
Sounds good.
All right, man. So for Brian Chung, I'm John Barber, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.